offered willingly by the mortal who resided within the warded home. It might work if Simeon had a permanent blood donor who lived with him, but what he knew of such arrangements was thin. He knew a vampire's weaknesses, but how the inner working of their society functioned was beyond him at the moment. He had no idea if blood donors and slaves lived with the vampires they fed, or if the humans had their own living spaces. Sliding from the bed, Angel headed for the bathroom, feet sinking into the opulent carpet, muffling his footsteps. He used the toilet and hopped in the shower, sniffing the soaps. They were odorless, and he smiled. That meant Simeon's delicious scent was natural. An Angel couldn't help the wave of happiness that swept through him at that realization. He blushed, even though there was no one to see him acting like a teenager suffering his first case of puppy love. Thinking about the elder led him to thinking about the night before. An Angel stood under the hot spray, distracted by memories of how thoroughly he fell apart under the vampire's hands. Simeon had known what he needed, and even now his ass aching and his shoulders bearing love bites, Angel still felt his lover's hands on him, the weight of his body, the taste of his kiss. Shaking his head, Angel finished washing up and got out, drying off with a fluffy soft towel before rummaging under the sink. He found a box of new toothbrushes and travel-sized toiletries, and he raided the supply. It didn't look like anyone else had used the supplies, unless Simeon replaced them often. Not wanting to think about how often the elder had sleepovers with blood donors, or even other vampires, Angel cleaned himself up, eyeing his messy hair in the mirror with a frown. His hair was dark brown, but the ends were capped white and honey blonde, and since it was so short, most thought him a blonde instead of a brunette. His eyes were dark, a mix of green and brown, and his skin had a light golden tan regardless of the season. Thankful the toiletries included shaving cream and a razor, Angel shaved before setting his hair to rights. He looked like his father. Angel was shorter than his father had been. Rain Salvatore was over 6 feet, built like a dancer and elegant. Angel was shorter, built more like the swimmer he was in high school. But their coloring was the same. An Angel bore his father's features. Thinking about his father led his thoughts to August, and how the man's life was stolen from him. "Who is Deimos?" Angel said, speaking to himself in the mirror. Why now? After 10 years, does he make his move now? I've been here the whole time in Boston. I never left. Everyone who mattered knew where I was, who I am. So why now? What is happening in the world now that makes Deimos come after me? Something changed. And recently. Angel washed his face, drying himself. He leaned on the counter and met his own gaze in the crystal clear mirror. August said Deimos wanted the spell I used that night. No one living remains who knows how I managed it. And I've only ever told August. And even he had trouble understanding it. He never told. Otherwise I would be dead right now, every vampire on the East Coast clamoring for my head. Deimos wouldn't have left August at my office and challenged me if he knew what spell I used.
Yes, that is logical, Mogra,
Simeon said from behind him, and Angel spun, heart racing. He was so intent on talking to himself he never saw Simeon come into the bathroom. Simeon smiled and kissed him, before taking his hand and pulling him from the bathroom to the bed, where Angel recognized his own clothes from the night before, cleaned and folded.
Keep going. You are making progress.
Angel got dressed, thinking, well, in the last few months, I've had two people be overly interested in how I defeated the army that night. A young man who came to my offices, under the false impression I would share the secret with enough flattery and hollow praise, who I promptly set off before I set him on fire. And now Deimos. The human was rude and Deimos homicidal, so they may or may not be connected. But dismissing coincidence can get you killed. Has anyone here in the clan been asking about me too much?
maybe someone repeatedly inquiring.
Simeon thought about it and replied, "Not here, at least not in recent months. The master's stance on how he wants you treated is well known, so anyone curious about you has been left unsatisfied and knows better than to approach you. Though William Bridgerton asked about you the other night at the welcome banquet, my master deflected most of his questions. The unranked master from Atlanta." "What exactly did he ask?" Angel said, and Simeon shifted on his feet, the usually controlled undead man looking sheepish.
"Simeon, now I really want to know. What did Bridgerton say?"
"He inquired as to the clan's relationship with you, and if there was any animosity. Not an unexpected question, as he seeks to move himself and his fledglings here. He would want them safe, and an angry necromancer with the ability to destroy large numbers of us at once would be a dangerous neighbor to have."
"Yeah, okay. But I can tell that isn't all he asked,"
Angel said, eyes narrowed.
"Spill."
"He asked after you specifically. Your personality, what you looked like, and a fledgling showed him a picture. Bridgerton's reaction was interesting."
Simeon looked angry, his green eyes flashing.
Angel cracked a smile and put a hand on Simeon's chest, rubbing firm muscles and enjoying every second of it.
"Interesting, or do you mean interested? Are you jealous? Did he think I was hot?"
Angel asked, chuckling when Simeon growled and flashed a fang at him.
"Ha! You are jealous!"
"You are mine. He cannot have you," Simeon hissed, yanking Angel forward and hugging him close. "You finally let me in, and I will not lose this chance to earn your love and my place in your life. Bridgerton can get his own necromancer.
I haven't even met this vamp, and you're getting all caveman on me. Is he hot? Sexy? Should I be looking to upgrade?"
Angel teased, snorting out a laugh when Simeon snarled again and lifted him off his feet, throwing him onto the bed and laying on top of him. Angel laughed and Simeon huffed and started licking and kissing along Angel's jawline. He turned into the caresses, cock perking up, hands wandering down Simeon's shoulders and back.
"I thought I agreed to be yours," Angel murmured,
eyes drifting closed as Simeon went about what seemed to be his favorite pastime, sucking up marks on his neck, this time right behind his ear.
"I could have sworn I agreed to be all yours already."
"Yes, you did. All mine, Ogre," Simeon whispered, nibbling on his earlobe. "Did you have plans for the day? Or may I show you again how much I desire you?"
"Oh, man, that's not fair," Angel sighed, groaning. "I need to call Millie and see if the cops came by and if she's okay. And since my office is still a crime scene, I guess I have no plans other than tracking down a killer."
"Then call the lovely Millicent, and afterwards we shall spend the day creating more alibis." Simeon kissed him, deep and hard, making him moan and arch up, burying his fingers in thick auburn hair and humming his approval. "Unless you'd rather hunt down that killer now. Shut up and kiss me. So demanding."
The kiss Angel got was enough to make him forget his name. Full of tongue and chocolate, fangs and mint, Angel drowned in Simeon's kiss. He was working his fingers down to unbutton Simeon's waistband when a chime went off, stilling Simeon atop him. Angel pulled back and stared at his lover.
"What is it? What's that noise?"
"My master summons me," Simeon said, face closing off, and he carefully got up from the bed, pulling Angel up with him.
"I must attend him."
"Shit. All right. I'll stay here then. I'll just find my cell and call Millie, see what's going on with her. Maybe order a pizza? I'm starving."
Angel put his hand in his pockets, oddly nervous. He gave a thin smile to Simeon when the elder cocked a brow at him.
"What? It's not every day a guy starts a new relationship and then his boyfriend gets summoned by an all-powerful master of vampires. What if your master wants me to leave? And I swear to God, I sound like a kid freaking out over his first boyfriend and whether or not the parents like me. What the fuck?
Simeon interrupted his rambling by kissing him, strong hands curling over his shoulders. Angel stilled, tipping his head back and losing himself in the touch and sensations. Every time Simeon touched him, every kiss, it was getting harder and harder to hold on to himself, keep his focus and his desires in check. Simeon was wearing him down, consuming his control and becoming the focal point for all his wants. He had never once felt like this, and between feeling as if he were adrift on currents outside his control, and the need to place his heart solely in Simeon's hands, Angel was fighting with everything he had to survive from one moment to the next.
"Lannan," Simeon whispered as he pulled back, lips moving over Angel's, making him shiver with need.
"Just breathe, please. All will be well. I must go, though. I will be back. If you wish to call Millie, your cell is with your bag. It's on the coffee table in the front room. You left your bag in the limo last night."
Angel pulled back, licking his lips, Simeon's eyes tracking his tongue. He grinned, then blinked, focusing.
"No one messed with it?
My bag, I mean. Please check if you want. If anything is missing, I'll rectify the problem when I return. The phone on the table beside the bed calls to housekeeping. Order yourself something to eat. I must go."
Simeon kissed him one last time and walked from the room. Angel watched him go, heart jumping, oddly worried. His cell was where Simeon said it would be, in the huge living room on a coffee table. Angel put it in his pocket, intending to call Millie in a few minutes. His bag was there, too, and he didn't hesitate to check the contents. Everything was there and looked unmolested. The sea salt and venom jars were beyond priceless, and it showed how fucked up he was the night before that he forgot all about them. He pulled out his athame and went back to the bathroom. He cleaned the blade, wishing he had holy water to properly do the trick. But tap water and a quick prayer was enough to clean the residual energy from the blade. He stuck the weapon behind his belt at the small of his back, his long, heavy sweater enough to cover the hilt and blade from casual observers. Taking out his cell, he dialed Millie. It was late enough to be a decent hour to call since she got up late on days they weren't offering classes. With their studio a crime scene, neither of them were working.
"Hello," Millie said. Cranky. "Morning, sunshine,"
Angel quipped, sitting on Simeon's bed, catching a whiff of their activities in the night. Angel smiled and fell back on the bed, wincing when the hilt of the athame dug into a rib. He shifted and listened to Millie grumble at him.
"Don't call me sunshine, young man," she snapped, obviously upset.
Angel bit his lip and tried not to laugh.
"Your BFF, Detective Collins, was here earlier. Asshole woke me at 7 a.m.
"Did you turn him into a rat?" "I'd pay to see that," Angel said, thinking about it. Transformation spells were incredibly difficult and ran the risk of killing anything living. But it might be worth it to see Collins match his personality.
"No, and I'm regretting that now. They went to your apartment and tried to get past your wards. I saw a few detectives sporting your tracers, so I don't know if they managed to get in or not."
"If they tried hard enough, they may have. Though my tracers will stick to anyone who's determined enough to breach them. I wasn't woken by any sensory echoes from my ward's fallen, so I don't think they made it in."
"Hmm,"
Millie hummed, and he could hear her clinking around, water running.
"I, of course, have no idea as to your whereabouts, if you weren't at home, and since I informed them that I'm far too young to be your fucking mother, and as such I have no idea what you do at night, I was able to tell them nothing. I'm assuming you had to go somewhere other than home after your adventure last night."
Angel said, thinking. He could lie, but she routinely caught him out at it anyway. He was safe enough on the other side of town. He could tell her the truth. My old friend hadn't been autopsied, and I left evidence behind. We had to rectify that and almost got caught. So now I'm making an alibi at the tower, actually. With Simeon? As if his location wasn't a big enough clue to let her know what he'd been doing late last night. Crickets. That must be what he was hearing through the silence on the line. Crickets, followed by a long, even exhale and a deep breath. Wincing, waiting for a lecture or a shriek. Angel was flabbergasted when Millie merely said, "It's about time. Took you fuckers long enough." "Thanks, Mom," Angel sighed. "So glad you like my boyfriend." "Stop it." Angel laughed and got back to his feet, cell pressed to his ear. He heard something in the front room and he headed that direction, thinking Simeon was back. "Let me know if anything happens, please. And the bad guy's name is Deimos. Sound familiar?" "No, it doesn't," Millie said, humming as she thought. He heard a kettle in the background. She must be making tea. "I'll ask around." "Do it carefully, please. August is dead and I don't want to get a call from the cops saying they found your body." "You could be next. The asshole wants to know how I survived that night and what spell I used." He didn't need to elaborate. Millie understood. "As I don't know what spell you used myself and have told numerous idiots who've asked me in the last several years, I think I'm safe. But I will be cautious, dear. Give my best to Simeon."
"Sure," Angel said, and hung up as he entered the living room. Simeon was back and his lover wasn't alone.
"Hey, what's going on?" Angel asked. "And Millie says hi."
Simeon gave him a tight smile, fangs hidden but stepped to the side. "Lennon," he said with a short bow, "may I present to you my esteemed colleague, Elder Etienne Gaston? Etienne, my Lennon, the necromancer Angelus Salvatore." The Master of Boston was odd in some ways, like his near-total recluse status and the fact he only had two elders. Most masters of a city had several, sometimes up to a dozen. But here there were only two. Simeon, and the dark-haired, slim vampire eyeing him like he was dessert.
"Hi," Angel said, not offering his hand. The vampire elder was a couple inches taller than Angel, slim and just as pale as Simeon, making his dark brown eyes stand out even more. His chocolate brown hair brushed back into an elegant wave.
"So, what's going on?"
Simeon smirked at his abruptness, and the new vamp's eyes narrowed, probably in annoyance. But Angel couldn't care less. Angel saw a hint of fang before the new elder got himself under control. He was hungry, he wanted to get fucked again, and he had a bad guy to burn to ashes. And being polite wasn't something he was all that skilled at anyways. Simeon was acting odd, but then he had never seen Simeon in the presence of an equal. Always seeing his lover around lesser masters and fledglings, so it made sense he would act differently in the presence of someone with ostensibly as much authority as he. The new vamp was very pretty, in a strong masculine way. But Angel preferred the wild warrior with his dark red hair and tattoos standing at his side to the polished exterior of the other elder. And his obvious lack of awe at meeting this new elder came across fairly clear. Simeon took Angel's hand and Elder Etienne rallied, smoothing out non-existent wrinkles in his fine jacket.
"I have come to offer the sincerest welcome of our master, and ask that you do him the honor of attending him for your repast," Elder Etienne said, his French accent smooth and heavy, but his words were perfectly understandable, as was his annoyance. "The police are reportedly searching for you, and our master wishes to speak to you about such matters in person. As your connection to the Blood Clan is widely known, I believe the police have correctly assumed you are here. My master wishes to speak to you before the police arrive.
Shit! Angel swore and turned to Simeon. Did I get you in trouble?
Not at all, my love. We should go, though, as my master has ordered brunch for you.
Brunch? Sounds special. All right, after you, Angel said, hiding his nerves. He wasn't afraid, not really. He was more worried about Simeon in this whole mess. Was he in trouble for dragging the clan into Angel's shitstorm? And why did Etienne come back with Simeon instead of his lover returning for Angel alone? Angel followed Etienne out into the hall, the three of them walking to the elevator, and its guard stationed outside the doors, this time a human man, dressed identically to his undead counterparts. Angel kept his hand on Simeon's, and when they got in the elevator with its human guard and Etienne scanned his palm, Angel was additionally worried when Simeon made it a point to stand between him and the other elder, as if protecting him. Angel got a quick look at Etienne's face, and the sneer twisting his lips before the elevator stopped at the penthouse. A guard stood outside the doors in the hall, and two more stood down at the entrance to the penthouse suite. Angel walked down the hall at Simeon's side, Etienne in front, and one of the guards following behind. He refused to be nervous, but he clutched a bit tighter at Simeon's hand. The doors were opened by the guards, and they swept into a grand room. Tall windows tinted the same as the ones in Simeon's bedroom, but their height allowed more natural light into the space, even if the view was just as boring in grayscale tones. Even the vibrant hues of scarlet and burgundy, snow white and rich cream were dulled by the oppressive nature of the view. Despite the distance to be seen across the harbor and most of downtown, though absolutely minuscule compared to the Hancock 60 stories of glass and steel, the tower was placed so as not to be near any other tall buildings. Its placement in one of the most historical areas of Boston prevented newer developments and taller buildings from devouring its view of the city. The Vamps further protected their territory by buying the surrounding properties and having them all declared landmarks to some degree or another. An unlit chandelier above his head caught the meager light and threw rainbow-hued spots across the walls and floor and over the golden hair of the master of the city. Angel met crystalline blue eyes that glittered as brightly as the ornaments above them and froze.
Chapter 9. The Master. Angel had only seen the Master of Boston once, from a distance across the grand floor of the casino buried at the base of the tower. He had been leaving the room just as Angel entered it, heading for one of the private rooms adjacent to the main playing floor where high-stakes games were played. A young vampire had bitten one of the servers. A woman who had a witch in her family tree close enough to poison her blood with latent magic. Angel was able to cure the vampire and scold the undead in charge for not schooling both their younglings and their employees to avoid such mistakes in the future. His one glimpse was insufficient to prepare him for the sheer magnitude that was the master. Tall, Simeon's height at least, and broad across the chest and shoulders, muscles moved as a cat's would, and the ancient vampire stalked away from the windows toward where they stood. Pale skin, unlined and smooth, glowed white as snow and just as pure, with deep pink, lush lips that revealed pristine fangs and shiny teeth, flashed in a charming grin. A scent as familiar as apple pie and pine, with a hint of lemon washed over him, making him breathe deep and hold it in to enjoy it better. He breathed out when his lungs began to burn, eyes meeting bright blue once again, and found his tongue incapable of forming words. Simeon, the vision spoke, accented with such a foreign influence that it left Angel floundering. Is this creature of magic and allure your necromancer? Surely not,
for one so young and beautiful to be so powerful. At the first hint of bullshit, Angel snapped back to reality. The master knew exactly who he was, and backhanded compliments did nothing but piss him off. He held his tongue but narrowed his eyes, a smidgen, taking a better look at the ancient undead in front of him. The master was beyond attractive. He exuded an air of raw masculinity and power that Angel could feel, cloying and purring as a cat would, trying to entice him into touching, to wanting. Angel had a thing for big men, but this creature before him was too much dangerous wrapped up in a tame exterior, not to mention the charisma rolling off him in waves, trying to suppress Angel's will, left him royally pissed.
"Yes, master. This is Angela Salvatore.
Agra,
the master of Boston, Constantine Batiste."
Simeon's words were pure courtesy, but the tension in the hand Angel held warned him to tread carefully.
"Angelus, greetings."
Angel found his free hand in the master's without noticing how it got there. The fucker was fast and too slick.
"Welcome to my home."
"Angel, please.
Only my mother called me Angelus, and that was when I forgot to clean my room,"
Angel replied, trying to discreetly pull his hand away, but Batiste held him without effort. Cold, hard fingers that sucked in his own body heat, rapidly warming, and as the cold receded he could feel the smooth skin, the satin glide of perfect flesh. Too perfect, somehow, and it bothered him.
"Of course, Angel. And you are an angel, are you not? I can feel your power. It burns around you in a verdant halo, just under the surface,"
Batiste said, damn near purring. The ancient vamp could sense Angel's aura, meaning his own power was substantial. Not that Angel had any doubts, considering how easily he was almost swept under by the vampire's charisma.
"Will you dine with me? Food has been prepared, and I am eager to see your enjoyment of what I've had arranged for you."
Holding back his retort at just how fucking creepy that sounded, Angel gave a tight smile and nodded once.
"Sure. Sounds great. Did you order something for Simeon, too? Poor guy must be parched."
Simeon stiffened, and Angel felt a minor tremor in the hands that held his. But there was no sign of anger or annoyance in the perfect face of the master.
"I shall have something brought out immediately. Please, this way."
Angel finally had his hand back, and they were led to a small table underneath the windows, a single place setting with fruit, pastries, and what looked like a rasher of scrambled eggs and bacon. He was hungry, and sat. Servants appeared, and while Batiste and Simeon sat, Etienne stood nearby. The servants put a goblet in front of both Simeon and the master, and Angel got a hint of metallic heat on the air. Blood in their goblets. Not that he expected anything less. A clear water goblet was placed next to his left hand, and Angel sipped, watching both the master and Simeon. The master gave him a charming smile, and Simeon sat still, both hands flat on the table on either side of his goblet. He piled food on his plate and dug in. The odds of being poisoned were next to none here. Angel could heal himself of anything deadly, eradicating the toxins with a rush of hellfire through his system, and the motive behind such an act wasn't obvious or apparent enough to be likely. Unless Deimos was a highly ranked vampire and in this room, or preparing his food in the kitchens, and somehow able to hide his scent from Simeon. No one here wanted him dead. Yet. Not able to remember the last time he ate anything substantial, Angel went back for seconds. Batiste watching him the whole time, amusement stamped on his features. The servants left the room as silently as they entered it, and it was just Angel and three vamps. Only one of them, he was certain, wouldn't try to either kill him or bewitch him. Angel swallowed and said,
"Not used to seeing people eat food?"
"I am not, no,"
Batiste agreed. I do not spend time with my donors outside of my own sustenance. So, no whining and dining? You just have them come over for a snack and send them on their way afterwards?
Simeon went extra still. If it was at all possible for someone to become so frozen that they all but vibrated with palpable tension while not actually moving. But Simeon managed it.
You are not as I expected, Batiste said, drinking from his goblet. Not a drop of crimson to be seen on his lips. An angel was watching with morbid curiosity. Most humans dare not speak to me at all, let alone dare ask me about my feeding habits. Beautiful and daring, and quite powerful. Is your heart set on Simeon Angelus, or can I sway you to my side? An elder is truly powerful, but none are more powerful than a city master. To have a master as your lover would keep your enemies forever at bay. I might even be able to help you find revenge on the few that escaped mortal justice.
Angel leaned back in his chair, hands crossed over his stomach. He put a leg out under the table and rested the toe of his boot on Simeon's foot. He got Simeon to send a glance his way for a nanosecond, before the elder went back to his impression of an undead statue. For some reason, Simeon was remaining out of this, and for a powerful elder to be so cautious made Angel both infuriated and curious.
We've only just met. And you're trying to get in my bed? You move fast for an old guy.
Batiste smiled, showing a sharp fang and his blue eyes flashing.
When I see what I want, I get it.
So, you want me?
Oh, yes. Very much.
I'll ask you exactly what I asked Simeon. Why now? After 2 years. I'm beyond certain you've had every step I've made in the last 2 years watched. So you had plenty of time to come calling if you were all that interested. And I know you could have just as easily told Simeon to stay away from me, which means you know he's been courting me. What now? Did my choice to have sex with Simeon prove my supposed aversion to vampires was an assumption, and now you think the way is clear? Simeon's done all the work, after all. And like you said, a master is better than an elder any day. Angel was so mad a puff of smoke rose from his fingers, and he fought back the urge to let his hellfire out. A singed brow may make Batiste back off, but he had doubts he could kill the master before he got to Angel. Elder Etienne hissed and flowed across the room, coming to stand right behind where Angel sat. Angel didn't react at all. He was not showing fear in here.
My elder objects to your tone, necromancer. Are you brave or foolish?
Both, without a doubt. I'm full of flaws.
Maybe less than you think.
Batiste finally stopped staring at Angel and sent his regard to Simeon.
My eldest child loves you. He calls you Lannon in Old Irish. Has he told you what that means?
No, but I'm guessing it's important.
Yes, very. But as he hasn't explained, the way is clear for me.
Batiste stood and walked around the table, edging Etienne out of the way, and coming to stand right behind his chair. Simeon was watching now, green eyes locked on Angel's face. Heavy hands came to rest on his shoulders, fingers curling in slightly, holding him in place. Angel let his own arms relax, his hands falling from his stomach to rest by his hips. He now had a strong suspicion why Etienne came back with Simeon for Angel. They were planning this fucking sexual ambush from the start. And Simeon couldn't stop it. The Simeon he knew wouldn't let Angel be harassed like this unless he had no choice. And that meant there was a hidden motive to this all. Simeon wouldn't let his life be in danger. He knew that much. But maybe if he interfered, Angel would be in danger then. Something was happening here that Angel couldn't understand. And not knowing what was going on pissed him off even more. The hilt of his athame was not that far from his left hand, and if he needed to, he could grab it. Maybe not before he lost his head, but he could try. Whatever kept Simeon from interfering was not going to keep Angel from protecting himself. Batiste leaned down, mouth by Angel's right ear. Again he got the scent of apples and spice, and he fought back his enjoyment of the scent. Charisma and sheer power rolled off the ancient vamp. An Angel gave the tiniest of shivers, Batiste's hands tightening when he felt it. Angel held Simeon's gaze and tried to keep his anger and increasing fear off his face. Surely a city master holds more appeal than a single elder. You've tasted the passion found beneath a vampire's touch. Imagine how mine would feel. I could satisfy you, pleasure you, protect you and treasure you for the entirety of your life. No enemies could get to you while you enjoy the protection of my embrace. Each word from Batiste's lips tickled along his ear and neck. An Angel's whole body tingled with instinctive fear and the need to run. Angel fought to control himself, to stay as relaxed as possible so as not to give himself away to the monster leaning over him. And what would you get out of it? You make no mention of love. I would get you, Angelus. Power and beauty, strength and danger in one gorgeous body. And love. Love is for mortals, humans who have nothing. What need have I for love when I have eternity? And I know you, Angelus. Never have you kept a lover, nor something so insipid as a boyfriend. You satisfy an itch, then move on, still listless and discontent. Let me satisfy you. I know you've not mentioned love to Simeon, so surely my bed holds more appeal. Let me send them away and I can show you passion you've never known. Angel kept his eyes on Simeon. He saw something in the emerald depths that spoke of worry, and a shadow of fear. Etienne moved closer as Batiste scented at Angel's neck. He felt a tiny hint of fangs gliding over his skin. Things were about to get dangerous. Maybe a city master had the ability to survive magic poisoning. An Angel was about to join the menu. Somehow the thought of sleeping with a golden Adonis wasn't all that appealing. Simeon was wild, an untamed creature masquerading as gentleman, and the touch of feral strength in the elder called to Angel. Wild he may be, but Simeon was also kind, patient, funny, and sometimes so sarcastic it made Angel wince. But he spoke of love with honesty and without fear. An Angel trusted him, yet it was there in Simeon's eyes. Batiste was right. Angel had never mentioned love, or even how he felt to Simeon, and that worried Simeon gave him doubt. Angel had said nothing other than a mangled yes to an urgent plea, and given his lover no firm foundation on which to stand. Angel sighed. He was such an ass. You're right. I haven't told Simeon I love him, Angel said, Batiste giving a growl of satisfaction in his ear. Angel slid his left hand back and under his sweater and pulled the athame free, holding it out of sight. Batiste was nuzzling at his neck, right under his right ear, no doubt able to see Simeon's love bites. A hand slid down from his shoulder, over his chest, now getting way too close to his abdomen and below. Batiste was going for the gold immediately, thinking Angel a sure bet. I may not have told him I love him, because I've never been in love before. Saying it before I'm sure I mean it would be as wretched as never saying it at all. Will you be mine, then? Batiste whispered against his flesh, making Angel tip his head to the side. Batiste's wandering hand stopped just shy of his waistband, fingers rubbing over his stomach before slipping lower. The ancient vampire's finger slid under his jeans, homing in on his groin. Angel shivered with repulsion and bared his own teeth in a snarl. No! Angel pulled the athame up, faster than he should have been able to, but then a man, no matter what the species, tended to get distracted when thinking with his cock. Angel pressed the tip of the bottom to Batiste's chin, calling his hellfire to the blade. It erupted in green flames, and Batiste froze. His cool hand was centimeters from grabbing Angel's cock, An angel wanted nothing more than to light the undead fiend up like a torch. Etienne snarled and made to leap at him, but Simeon thawed and jumped over the table, shoving Etienne into the window and holding him with one hand to the glass by the throat. Simeon looked back at him, worry now obvious on his handsome features. Get your fucking hands off of me. Baptiste obeyed, instantly, pulling his hand out of Angel's pants and holding both hands out to the side. I may not know if I love him, Angel gritted out, pushing with the blade, breaking skin. He made Baptiste stand up and Angel moved, the burning blade spitting and hissing like a cat as Angel maneuvered them so he could see both Master and the two elders. Angel glared at Baptiste and raised his right hand, calling Hellfire to dance around his fingers. Etienne hissed again, but Simeon choked him, silencing him. Baptiste was smiling, even as blood dripped down the blade and began to burn, filling the air with a bitter odor. I may not know if I love Simeon, but I want to. I want to love him with everything that remains in my broken heart. I agreed to be his, I am his, and I always will be. Now back the fuck off, or I'll show you just how nasty things get when I'm upset. Baptiste laughed. Angel had him at blade point, and the bastard laughed. It snapped and coiled around the room, echoing oddly. Angel tensed, ready to fight, but all Baptiste did was raise his hands, palm out, and said, Peace, necromancer. You have proven Simeon's claim upon your heart and affections. You may relax, and I will trouble you no more on the subject of switching lovers. Was this a fucking test? I have a knife to your throat and that's okay because you didn't mean it? Angel hissed out, enraged. Simeon made a noise, halfway between a sigh and a strangled laugh. You put your mouth on me, your hands on me without invitation, and it's all okay because this was just a test? Fuck you!
Lanon.
Simeon spoke for the first time since they sat down, his voice a sexy rumble that cut through Angel's anger better than any yelling ever could.
All will be well now. You have made yourself very clear, and my master will apologize for his transgressions. Will you not, Master Baptiste?
I sincerely apologize for doubting your devotion to my treasured elder and my methods for testing you. Please. Forgive me.
Baptiste still had that cocky grin on his lips, but Angel was done fucking around. He didn't believe a damn word, but this standoff couldn't last forever. Touch me again, without invitation, even with something so innocent as a handshake? I'll burn you to ash without hesitation, and I could give two shits about your Master of the City title.
Understood, necromancer,
Baptiste replied with a purr, smiling. Do you know who Deimos is? Angel asked, intensifying the hellfire for a heartbeat.
I do not.
It irked him to no end, but he believed Baptiste. Angel killed the hellfire and dropped the athame from the vamp's throat, stepping away from Baptiste at the same time. Simeon dropped Etienne on his ass and blurred as he came to Angel's side, taking him into his arms and burying his face in Angel's neck, breathing in deep. Simeon was shaking, an angel stilled battling back his anger. Simeon was deeply upset, more so than he'd ever seen the vampire before. Angel tucked the athame back into his belt and hugged Simeon back, lifting up on his toes to get a better hold around Simeon's neck. Angel glared at Baptiste over Simeon. The ancient vampire merely grinned back at him and dabbed at the cut on his chin with a snowy white handkerchief. Etienne hovered over his master, but Baptiste ignored him, returning to his seat at the table and sitting down.
Hey, Angel murmured, rubbing the back of Simeon's neck. You doing okay there?
Simeon lifted his head and smiled down at Angel.
You wish to love me?
Yes, Angel said quickly, disregarding their audience. Not that Baptiste was paying them any attention, no.
I may love you already, but that's outside my experience, so how about I get back to you on that?
Simeon chuckled and kissed him. Angel closed his eyes and leaned into Simeon, humming as Simeon delved deep, exploring Angel's mouth and taking his time. Simeon broke the kiss and said,
I will show you my love until you recognize your own, and you can tell me with surety that you love me.
Sounds like a plan, Angel replied. But maybe you can tell me what Lenoan means?
This ought to be interesting,
Batiste said dryly, chuckling. How about you tell me when we aren't surrounded by assholes? Angel said, and he flipped off the master. Etienne twitched, and Angel flipped him off as well. Batiste smirked. A 1,000-year-old vampire smirked at him.
Come, sit, my love, and finish your meal, Simeon said, and tucked him back into the table. He wanted out of here, but until he knew for certain that Deimos wasn't in the tower, and that the police weren't going to arrest him, he was going to have to stay here in Vamp HQ for now.
Not so hungry anymore, Angel said, and his thoughts got derailed when Simeon pulled out Angel's chair, sat in it himself, and then tugged Angel to sit in his lap. We have too many people watching to be playing at Santa and his naughty elf. Simeon snorted out a laugh, but tucked Angel close to his chest and held him there. Angel sighed with exasperation, but let Simeon have his way. The expression on Simeon's face was pure satisfaction, and the smug twist to his lush lips made Angel growl and nip at them. Simeon gave him a delighted glance and kissed him in return, taking his time, as much staking his claim as pleasing them both. A dark chuckle came from across the table, but Angel ignored it, taking his time with the kiss. He was discovering that after years of avoiding intimacy, that he was severely starving himself of some really great sensations, chief of which was how it felt to be held and adored. He'd never realized that he wanted such a thing, but he was beginning to love it, and it was in this undead man's arms. Simeon gently nipped his lower lip as they broke apart, and Angel sighed, his residual anger seeping out of him. He was never going to trust the master, but he wasn't homicidally angry anymore. Angel put an arm around Simeon's neck, adjusting himself on his lover's lap. He spared Etienne a glance, and the chilly expression on the other elder's face told him he would have to be cautious there. Batiste was smiling as if he hadn't just had a knife to his throat and his hands down Angel's pants. Explain what the fuck that was.
Now.
Batiste threw back his head and laughed. You are the bluntest creature I have ever had the pleasure of encountering. You charge in, damned be the consequences, and you set the world aflame. No wonder my eldest child loves you so. Batiste waved a hand, and servants appeared again, clearing the table and depositing a thick leather portfolio on the table in front of the master. Tell me, necromancer, what do you know of mating rituals among supernaturals? Angel looked at Simeon. You said we weren't magically mated, damn it!
And we are not, Lannon. I promise. All you swore to me was to be mine, but you can always take it back. I hope you'll never want to, but you and I are not bound.
Simeon vowed to him, cupping his chin in one cool, big hand, smoothing a thumb over his bottom lip.
I would never trap you like that, I swear.
Angel humphed, but relaxed again, glaring now at Batiste. Quit fucking around.
So fiery. A shame I could not turn your head,
Batiste mused, but he went from annoying to businesslike in a nanosecond, opening the portfolio. I merely asked, as I wish for you to understand how momentous an occasion this is for my darling Simeon. We vampires are capable of romantic love, just as we were when mortal. The exception is the means by which it happens.
Master, don't.
Let me explain it to him, Simeon interrupted. Angel looked back to him, frustrated and getting annoyed again. Simeon held him closer, cradling him. And Angel was even more annoyed that he liked it.
Someone explain. How the fuck is this hard?
Angel frowned, glaring. glaring. Simeon rubbed a hand over his back, soothing. My master means to tell you that while we can love, once we turn, we can only ever fall in love once to such a degree that we call another mate. My heritage calls such a one Lenon. I can love friends, my sire, my fellow fledglings, even donors, but I have never been in love. I am over 4 centuries old, and you are the only person I've ever been in love with, Simeon said. And you have my heart in its entirety. I call you Lenon, as I have no other before you. After centuries of never letting anyone in as I have you, Master Batiste fears that I'll not survive loving you. So we are mates, Angel said, getting riled up again. Nothing but talking in circles. No, we are not. But the possibility to become mates is very high, and I wish for nothing more than to call you my mate. My Lenon, in truth. And have you return the sentiment? Right now I am all yours, but the bond is incomplete. It takes more than instant lust and love at first sight. It takes prolonged contact, exchange of emotions, and developing a rapport of trust and love and willingness to sacrifice. A mate bond for our kind takes a long time, sometimes weeks or months, sometimes years, and it can be broken before the final pieces are in place, Simeon hurriedly explained.
Sounds less like mating and more like an engagement period before marriage, Angel said, fucking butterflies in his stomach, mouth dry, with magical and spiritual ties instead of legal or religious ones.
Yes, that is the most accurate comparison, Simeon agreed. His smile was wary, and Angel could feel the tension in the vampire's big body beneath him. His vampire was waiting for his reaction to this Lenon situation, but the avid gaze of the master vamp nearby was bugging the shit out of him.
So what was this whole switching lovers bullshit? Angel demanded.
I was testing your level of devotion to Simeon. He's already too far gone to recover from your loss if you decide that being his mate in the future is too much for you. He won't die from a mate bond being left incomplete, but he will never love another. I wished to make sure you would not destroy my most treasured child, Batiste interrupted, rifling through papers and photos in front of him.
Etienne hissed, but everyone ignored him.
The Celt is a feared warrior, and much of this clan's power comes from his superior skills and strengths. Having him laid low by a broken heart is not something I will allow.
What the ever-loving fuck?
Angel rubbed his face, thinking hard.
He looked back at Simeon, their faces inches apart.
Simeon was watching him, emerald eyes clear, without a trace of doubt.
You really know how to box someone in, don't you?
You aren't boxed in, my love. You have all the freedom in this relationship. All the control. I swear you're not trapped.
No, I'm only responsible for your mental and emotional well-being, and if I screw you over and turn my back on you, or if we don't just work out long-term, I haven't just messed with you for a few months while you get over a bad breakup. I've broken your heart forever. That is a huge responsibility.
Angel found himself in the air. The room blurred, and suddenly he was standing on the far side of the room, overlooking the northern part of the city, the overcast day appearing drearier through the heavily tinted glass. Simeon cupped his face, holding him still, eyes locked on each other.
Is that what you fear? Pardon me?
Fuck, Simeon. You tell me I'm your one and only? Literally. And how can I not be afraid of hurting you?
You won't, Ogran. It's not in you.
I suck at interpersonal relationships. My brother hates me, who, by the way, I need to make sure is still alive. And I have one friend. My students all think I'm an asshole, and they'd be right. I've never had a relationship that lasted longer than an exchange of top versus bottom, and I don't know what I'm doing,
Angel said, holding onto Simeon's wrists with both hands.
Neither do I, Angel. I've never been in love before. Then we're the blind leading the blind.
I prefer to think of it as finding our way together.
I will say I told you so, if this goes sideways.
Simeon smiled at him and pressed a kiss to his forehead. I have faith in us, Lenon.
The police are on their way up, Simeon said, walking back to his side from where he'd been speaking quietly to Master Batiste and two other vampires, one of which was wearing the most expensive suit Angel had ever seen before in his life, and that was saying something. The other vamp had an unassuming air about him, marking him an assistant to the wealthy vamp. They had both shown up after Batiste sent Etienne away for them, the elder not returning. A detective, Collins, and two uniformed officers. It took Angel a moment, but it clicked fast enough. One detective, questioning. Three cops, two of them uniformed officers for backup. Meant they had either a warrant for his arrest or plausible cause to toss him in handcuffs. And if he went to jail, Angel had no doubts about how long he'd last behind bars.
They're here to arrest me.
They can try, Aura, Simeon said, flashing his fangs with a grim smile. We shall see what they want first.
There's a Collins leading the charge, Angel said, one eye on the door to the penthouse. The cops should be there in a few minutes. Every encounter I've had with the cops in the last few weeks has steadily gotten more aggressive. I may yet walk out of here in handcuffs.
Angel looked at Batiste, and there was no doubt the master and the two new vamps heard every word.
Is the master going to break his seclusion and stay? Or is he leaving the establishment of my alibi to you? You've got the clout to back me up. You okay lying for me?
Lying is the least of what I would do for you. You did what was necessary to find the truth behind your friend's murder. I don't care about the legalities of human customs. I care about keeping you safe.
A commotion broke out in the hall. Voices raised through the door. Batiste straightened, the portfolio from brunch tucked up under his arm. Angel stood with Simeon along the windows just as a thick cloud cover took a firm hold over the horizon, and the lights came on in the penthouse. The doors opened, the cops surrounded by angry vampire guards. Detective Collins was bristling with anger and annoyance. An Angel could guess it had something to do with the fact the vampires were carrying the cops' weapons. Angel didn't know much about the inner structure of vampire society, but he knew enough about how vampires interacted with human society. The top two highest ranks of vampires, Elder and Master, were considered a type of sovereign, an independent authority, and few human laws pertained to them. But the ones that did were set in stone, and would bring the attention of the human authorities, typically in the form of the federal government, if violated. The master and the elders then placed laws upon the clans underneath them, maintaining control and making it possible for humans and vampires to interact in their daily lives without anarchy. If a human joined a clan, then they fell under the authority of the master and the laws of the blood clan and were no longer subject to human laws. There were few exceptions, and this structure was copied amongst the supernatural community, which is why the blood wars waged on for so long. The human casualties weren't high enough for the human government to step in until it was too late. Practitioners existed in the gray areas. They were human but supernatural, and the level of accountability and responsibility changed, depending on the particulars of each practitioner's situation and family. There was a council of high sorcery, but it was based in Europe, and they rarely looked across national boundaries unless the infraction was severe. Like raising the dead. Detective Collins saw Angel, as if he were a compass and Angel true north, and ignored the ruckus around him, pointing.
Salvatore, you're coming downtown to the precinct. You've got some shit to answer for.
He may not have his gun, but he still had his cuffs, and Collins pulled them off his belt and tried to get through the mess of people in the doorway. Hissing rose as the cops tried to bulldoze their way through the guards, shouting and threats rising. Things were disintegrating quickly,
An angel hadn't even said a word yet. For once, this couldn't be pinned on his big mouth, and he grinned, which only made Colin shout louder. Years ago, the night Simeon and Angel met, the Elder contained the lower echelon of vampires at the Halloween party through an exercise of power Angel had never experienced before or after. He knew it was Simeon, and it smelled, even tasted and felt like the Elder, and it was potent enough that Angel could still recall it years later. But what he felt in the penthouse now eclipsed Simeon's power as a hurricane would a gentle rainfall. Power swept across the floor, an almost tangible wave of energy that felt like the cold touch of ice and tasted like the sharp bite of hard cider, reminiscent of apples and spice and chilled orchards forced into slumber by the advent of winter. Hairs all over his body rose and his breathing stilled. An angel froze, eyes wide. Voices cut short and movements were aborted as Batiste made his presence known. Collins dropped his arm and stepped back, the guards relaxing. The expression on Collins' face made Angel snort, as he finally had a prime example of what it looked like to see someone so shocked as to be called shitless. It was clear the cops had made no effort to think about who else would be present, and to Angel, that was the height of stupidity. They were in Vamp HQ, in the penthouse of the tower. Who else other than the Master would be present? Collins gaped like a fish, and Angel finally couldn't hold in his laughter. His instinct for self-preservation must be faulty, as the incredulous looks he got from both the vampires in the room and Collins just made him laugh harder, bent over, hands on his knees, dissolving into giggles. Simeon put a hand on his shoulder, and Angel finally relaxed, wiping his eyes. A few weeks' worth of stress escaped in those spare moments, and he felt better.